This is the Northwestern Medicine Pod Talk. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to Northwestern Medicine Pod Talk. I'm Melanie Cole, and today I invite you to listen in as we discuss men's health, Movember, and what that means to you. Joining me is Dr. Edward Schaefer. He's the chief of urology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Dr. Schaefer, it's such a pleasure to have you join us today. Movember, or Men's Health Awareness Month, is pretty recent. Tell us a little bit about it and how it came about.
Yeah, Men's Health Month is a month that is geared towards raising awareness for male-specific health conditions. And these don't all have to be serious, but we certainly want to increase the awareness of all of them. So what are male-specific issues that people should be aware of? Well, there are male-specific cancers. Prostate cancer and testicular cancer are two well-known ones. There are also male-specific problems that come about because of issues with an individual's testosterone and their impact on their whole body and their total well-being. And then there are also male-specific issues related to fertility. So those are just a few concepts that feed into this idea of a men's health specific month. Every month is important, obviously, for men, and every month is important for women. This month is designed to raise awareness about male specific health issues that come about in individuals of all ages.
One of the things I find most interesting, and I hear you when you say every month is important, and women and men equally, one of the things that we see, and I see it with my own family, is getting a man in to see a doctor in the first place, and certainly especially a urologist. And no offense, Dr. Schaefer, but it isn't that easy. Before we get into how this month is different and COVID and all of these things, I'd like you to give your best advice for people that love a man and want him to go see a doctor, whether it's primary care or urology, and how can we do that?
You know, what analogy I like to use is women are a much better patients than men, and women are used to interfacing and interacting with their physicians, I think, in a perceptively more positive fashion. They have a lifelong relationship that begins with their pediatrician, and then as they transition through puberty, will transition to what is typically a lifelong relationship with their gynecologist. And men don't really have a handoff when they go through adolescence and puberty. Oftentimes, they stop seeing physicians altogether. And in some people's eyes, urologists can be seen as a, you know, gynecologist for men, so to speak. I think that there are some similarities between the two specialties. And so when a man who's listening to this conversation today says, you know what, I haven't touched base with a doctor and I'm 45 years old or I'm 55 years old, I think I should do that. I would say absolutely. And that first touch point can start with a primary care physician, or it can start with the urologist if a man is experiencing issues with their urination or issues with their energy and their drive or their sexual function, which are common things that will bring a man of middle age in to see us.
Well, they're certainly wary. And as you said, women, we've really had this going all our lives. And men are really pretty much nervous, if we're going to say it straight, about the digital exam. So let's talk about what a man can expect when he visits a urologist for the first time or each time. Tell us about when they should get screened for prostate cancer. What do you do? And really, what are you looking for?
When a gentleman would come into our office, it's often triggered by one of several things. One thing that brings men in is a change in their sexual function, their ability to have good erections. Other things, change in their urinary function. They're having issues with urination, and perhaps they have just concerns about cancers as they're getting older, and they want to have a discussion about that. So those would be three main themes that would bring individuals directly into us. And so the initial visit with the urologist would entail comprehensively talking about these male-specific issues. How do you feel? You know, how's your energy? How's your urinary function, et cetera? And oftentimes, these discussions would then lead to what we call share decision-making about next steps. And what I mean by that more specifically is there is often a discussion about, okay, you're a 50-year-old individual, your father had prostate cancer, should we start screening for prostate cancer in you? And men are often scared by that. They don't actually know what that means, but they do know that it runs in their family. And so part of our job is to explain to them, well, what does it mean to screen for prostate cancer? How do we do it? And we do it two ways, for the record. We do it with a blood test and we do a rectal exam. And, you know, that shared decision-making process can then evolve into the actual testing and screening. And I think people are scared because prostate cancer overall is pretty prevalent. Many men, about 1 in 8 to 1 in 9 men in their lifetime will develop prostate cancer. So most men will know somebody who's had it. And so they can be scared because they know somebody who had it and they're afraid to check for it themselves. And, you know, the big take-home message is that although 1 in 8 to 1 in 9 men will develop prostate cancer in their lifetime, you know, the way I think about it is the converse. 8 out of 9 men or 7 out of 8 men will never develop prostate cancer. And so that's why we want to screen. We want to screen and do testing to identify people who may have prostate cancer while it's still early and curable, but also provide reassurance and peace of mind for the 85 or 90% of men out there who will never develop a prostate cancer that will be problematic for them. And so I view it from a different perspective or a different lens. That is, come in to see us at Northwestern. We can check you out and screen you. Odds are well in your favor that nothing bad will be going on. And while you're in our office, we can certainly optimize your overall quality of health by fine-tuning your urinary function and fine-tuning your sexual function, for example.
That's very important and so interesting the way that you said that. So another very common thing that happens to so many men is BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia. Can you tell us what that is? And a lot of people are worried that's a precursor to cancer. Explain it a little for me.
BPH is a medical term that basically describes overgrowth of the prostate. And the anatomy of a man is different than the anatomy of a woman in regard to their kind of pelvis. And so the bladder, which stores urine inside of our bodies, for a man to get out, it has to traverse or go through a small channel, and it actually passes right through the middle of the prostate. And so as men get older, all men's prostates get larger. And as they get larger, they can obstruct the tube or the channel that we urinate through. That can result in difficulty urinating with weaker stream, takes longer at the bathroom. Sometimes people have a significant urgency to go to the bathroom. They don't feel like they're finished. All of those things were traditionally called symptoms consistent with BPH. Now we have a different term for it. We call it lower urinary tract symptoms. And those symptoms are very common. It's estimated that about 75% of men over the age of 50 will develop lower urinary tract symptoms. So most men have it. It's important that they bring it up to their doctors because A, it is something that is easily addressable, typically with just medications. But it's also important to bring up because people are scared of having it. 99% of the time, it's not a sign of some kind of underlying cancer.
Well, then tell us a little bit about what's been going on with COVID. During this pandemic, there's been a big shift to telehealth. How have you and your team been evolving care for your patients during the pandemic? How has it transformed the way you offer care to your patients?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I would say that we have a philosophy that we really like to see all of our new patients face-to-face first, if possible. And then once we've established a relationship with our patients and we've been able to examine them, then we can then very easily transition to a telehealth or video-based healthcare for a lot of the follow-up. Now, patients may say, well, you know, Dr. Schaefer, I think I may have a urology problem, but I'm not sure. And I'm a little hesitant to come in to see us. And so, yes, we're totally flexible, you know, and if you have a question or you have a concern about a symptom, you can certainly set up a televisit or a video-based visit to start with. After we do an interview, we can say, hey, you know what, I think you have a situation and I think it would be wise for you to come into the office to do a set of tests, some kind of diagnostic testing or something of that sort. And then once that actual testing has been done, again, then you can transition back to telehealth. So within our space, we've been able to do that pretty efficiently. Remember that as urologists, we often will diagnose and we most of the time treat many male-specific cancers. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men, and testicular cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in men under the age of 40. So we are one of our main themes of our practice, about 50% of our practice involves diagnosing and taking care of individuals like this. And so we do have experience, and we are good at balancing when you need to come in to see us versus when is it appropriate time to just leave it at home and do a telephone-based call.
And that's so great that you're doing that and that you put it that way. Now, Dr. Schaefer, you mentioned low testosterone. And for men, as you think about erectile dysfunction and getting older, one of the things that's going on right now with COVID especially is stress and sleep and mental health. And men don't always want to discuss mental health. So do any of these things tie together? And if so, what do you tell men if they're worried that it is low T or that their stressors are really affecting their sexual function? How do you work with them?
COVID is very stressful, and it does highlight what I think is really a very real issue and can affect patients' lives. And that is the interplay between, you know, social factors in our lives and our biology or how we feel. So stress can make you do things like consume more alcohol, not sleep as well, and those things can in turn affect, you know, testosterone values. So people who are not sleeping well, they have lower testosterone. People who are under stress have low testosterone. And it's not just testosterone. It can affect one's blood pressure. It can affect other endocrinologic functions like diabetes control and so forth. So certainly taking care of yourself from a mental health perspective is just as important as checking your blood pressure every day and so forth. Now, the good news is that there are ways that you can adjust and adapt to heightened stress. And those things include simple things like exercise, eating healthy. And in addition to those routines within your daily life, there are a lot of supportive care tools that we have access to at Northwestern through our program of our licensed social workers. So they are definitely very helpful at enabling patients to develop tools to deal with stress and to actually physically talk to patients about stressors that they may have and work through that on an individual basis.
Well, thank you for that. As we wrap up, Dr. Schaefer, tell the listeners how this Men's Health Month is different and maybe even more important than past months with COVID. The pandemic is raging and people are trying to take care of their health as best they can. Do you have some really great advice and best tips for men and for their partners that love them about getting them in to see the doctor, the importance of those well visits, and what they can do to keep themselves healthy?
Yeah, I think November, Men's Health Month is really a month to celebrate the men out there. And I want the guys and the gals who love them to remember that. And this is an opportunity to focus on the positive. So oftentimes I'll hear a spouse tell me, well, I told him to come in, you know, this that went too late. Let's put a pause on that. Let's focus on the positives and getting all these guys in to see their primary doctors and their urologists to fine-tune them so that they can live for decades to come. So for me, Men's Health Month, every month is Men's Health Month, but November is really focused on highlighting that and getting men to be engaged with a physician, develop a relationship that can last for decades to optimize their overall vitality, their well-being, and help them enjoy life better.
Thank you so much, Dr. Schaefer, for joining us for this very important message for men to hear. And thank you again. For more health tips from the specialists at Northwestern Medicine, you can visit our website at urology.nm.org to get connected with one of our providers. That concludes this episode of Northwestern Medicine Pod Talk. If you found this podcast informative, please share on your social media, share with other men and family members that you know, because that way we're all learning from the experts at Northwestern Medicine together. I'm Melanie Cole.